The most beautiful woman in the world has urgent need of my axe. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we decided it was time to rebrand and relaunch just in time for the game to do the same with its second edition. Tune in each week for your dose of strategy, discussion, jokes, and good old geek culture. Be sure to check www.whitebookpodcast.com for more content, generally in written form. Huge thanks go out to George R.R. Martin for creating this world, FFG for a great game, all of our contributors, and you, the listeners. Contact us on this site, facebook.com, as well as Twitter, or email contact@whitebookpodcast.com. This Creative Commons music is Townfish by Spinoza. The White Book Podcast. Can you believe we haven't used that quote
ever? Hey.
Wow.
Hey, do you know how to say J in Spanish? Like the letter?
No.
Jota?
No. I got D's in Spanish in high school and college.
I took German.
Jota? Seriously, it's Jota.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
Like Vicario, who has a big fucking ass.
But isn't that a Victorian quote?
Yeah, that's a Victorian quote.
Yeah, but I don't give a shit. Hold that.
I mean, what really matters is the characters that exist on the show. And Victorian doesn't exist on the show.
Hey, spoilers.
Right, so.
Hotam mostly didn't either.
He did. He just got jumped. My wife also came over to yell at me that that's only in Mexican.
There we go.
Well, there you go. Well, what's Castilian Spanish then?
I don't know. She's Colombian.
Well, then, I guess we will never know.
In fairness, Luke is 100% going to reply with the correct answer to this.
There's a good chance. There's a good chance. Thank goodness. Team Wright will come in and save the day.
I mean, they have to do something, right?
Burn.
Oh, zinger. Obviously, listeners, this is Team Left this week. Sorry we took so long to introduce ourselves. I'm Will. With me is my lovely co-host, who I think is, I can't decide who I should apply lovely to now that I said that. You know
what? You kind of backed yourself into a corner there.
I did. You know, you're all lovely. I don't want to choose a favorite.
Bullshit. Roy is the lovely one.
Okay.
I have to have something going for me.
He's got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Nobody's going to sing any more of that song? Okay, never mind.
Yeah, well,
I don't even know the song. You just confused the shit out of me.
Well, someone out there is a fan of the animated Lion King film. They'll enjoy it.
Okay.
So along with Aaron and Roy, the only two people who have so far been identified other than myself, we also have Tommy, who may be a bit faint this episode, so apologies, listeners. Say hi, Tommy.
Hello, all. I am equally baffled by the coconut comment.
All right. And a special guest host to join us this week. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do in the community?
Hey, everybody. I'm Stephen Cantrell, also known as Scantrell. And if I listed everything I do in the community, it would take about 10 minutes. So you've probably seen me one place or another.
He is the only person who's around as much as I am.
It's funny. I see Scantrell so much. Like, that is your name in my head. I have to keep stopping myself to be like, wait, Steve? Yeah, Steve.
I also ran through like 4 S names before I called him Steve the first time. I was like, shit.
Cantrell's fine. You can't forget that one.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like it flows as well as Scantrell, you know?
It's a good code name.
It's better than Fowinto.
I've had that since I was like 15, Aaron. It is a great handle. All right, it's a great handle.
See, I'm with you there, Roy. I've been using Kennen since I was about the same age, so I'm with you.
Tommy, what's your handle?
Does Tommy post anything?
He does, as TCMMY.
Okay, well, I think Scantrell's being a little humble on himself there. It would take quite a while to list everything he does. It's a lot of stuff, but mainly I would say hit the highlight, the community FAQ, I think was the title for it, right?
Yeah, community FAQ is one of the pinned threads on CardGameDB in the forums that basically just describes a little bit about the game and links to pretty much everything a new player could need to know.
So, yeah, be on the lookout for that, new listeners. If you have some questions about the game or want to find some more resources, I think that's kind of the definitive source to find everything at the moment. So, CardGameDB forums, go look for that post. Aside from that, I think we're going to be jumping in with our topic for the week. And this is one that we had promised when Team Left was on previously. This is a post-True Steel deck build. Now, the way time has gone, I know we had promised listeners two decks, but here we go. Under-delivering, yet again. You can thank me, listeners, or blame me at your leisure. We're probably only going to have time to knock out one today, so we're gonna get to it. We chit-chatted a little bit beforehand to figure out what we were going to build, and I think we had settled on Martell Kraken, or were we doing Kraken? Or sorry, Greyjoy's Son.
I think Martell Kraken.
No, Martell Kraken.
Yeah, way more interesting.
So the main idea behind it is that Martell gives you Gaston Grey. And Kraken gives you raiding longships, so your opponent is kind of screwed whether they attack or defend. It basically neutralizes Tywin and the other bigs. That's how I'd like to build it anyways.
I like the sound of it. Location heavy, but locations are nice for setup these days. Might be nice to kind of tinker around with some of the normal curves.
So does this die hardcore to Winterfell?
We could do a few winter plots of our own. And maybe some fish whiskers. What do you guys think?
I don't. I mean, our in Martell with its sort of sometimes awkward economy and awkward draw, are winter plots really a good answer to Winterfell, particularly in a deck that is going to be running some pretty expensive characters? I'm just not quite sure if that's the right call, because what would we want? What winter plots would we want? Is this going to be a first no winter deck? Would be the first thing that we're going to ask. I would lean towards no, because it's Martell main house, but I'm not sure.
I mean, unless you're wanting to reuse those traders and try to bank on that type of thing for some incremental card advantage.
I mean, if this
Arion and Asha are both really good with first snow.
Yeah, and this sounds mini curve.
So it's not impossible.
Yeah. Well, if we're running those three warships, we could always add a couple more warships and then the warship guys.
Well, yeah, it's also, but is Arion a good card in a banner house? I mean, like, one of the problems.
No, main house is Martell.
Right. But when you're running a banner, is Arion that good?
I mean, yeah, doesn't affect her.
No, it's fine as long as you have Martell, because you have Blood Orange Grove.
Yeah, you just want Martell reduced.
To replay her.
Are you going to be, yes, that was the point I was getting to. Are we going to run the Blood Orange Groves then? Because I found Arion is very difficult to repay repeatedly without those reducers. So does that mean we primarily want to sneak Asha in with Arion and then reuse her as sort of an engine/card advantage engine?
Asha's not that expensive.
Right.
Like, we could just play her on a noble cause or whatever, calling turn. That's not really a concern.
Right, but we're also running are we going to run Tyene?
Yeah, and
Looks really tempting to run Tyene.
A couple. She'd be the high end of the curve for this kind of deck.
The raiding longships would make it easier to push through intrigue with her.
I mean, that's true. I've got two real concerns. I feel like this is a little worrisome with Gaston. With Miri, and I feel like this is a little worrisome with Winterfell. And those are two very big meta cards right now.
I definitely agree. Because I think that Steve's initial solution of running Winter Plots, I'm not quite sure right now if that's the right solution, since Winter Plots, besides First Snow of Winter, aren't really that impactful. I guess the two claim can also be a pretty swingy card if your deck is designed for it. And Fish Whiskers, I don't know, because a lot of Stark decks aren't running Winter Plots. They're just using Winterfell to shut down bullshit that your opponent is trying to do. And right now, in all the, I played a lot of Stark, and I played a lot of Stark against Martell, and Stark, just all of Martell's removal options, Stark can just completely shut down.
So, but not with Fish Whiskers, right? Fish Whiskers loyal?
No, he's
no.
Yeah, he's not loyal.
I mean, if we're willing to run the 501 too, we're getting somewhere. He's five cost, right?
Fish Whiskers is also, he can be dropped in by Ariane as well as Asha.
Yeah. You know what this seems like?
And Fish Whiskers gives us the opportunity to potentially actually leverage Put to the Sword. I meant to say Put to the Torch, if we're worried about
it. No, because he's useless if we have Winter Plots anyway. I think I like the idea of this as a semi-winter deck, but I don't know if I actually want the raiding longships then, because most Winter Plots don't offer that.
That's fair. We can go one way or the other.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, I don't know. Let's get started by looking at plot deck. I've got a Martell Banner of the Kraken that I just created and started building on Thrones TV, because that's where you should build your decks.
Except for the times when it's down.
You know, all the goddamn time.
Whenever you want it to be.
Yeah, whenever new cards come out, and I'm really excited. So we're going to call this the White Book.
Yeah, right after.
Martell Banner of the Kraken. I like the idea as a first snow deck, given what we've discussed so far. Can we agree to put him first snow?
Yeah, let's go there, I guess.
I'm for it.
Oh.
The first snow. I always forget that it's the first snow of winter.
Long?
Yeah. So we want to start with problem.
Sorry. Do we want to start with either winds or the long winter, or just come back to that later?
I think we should come back to that.
Really? I was going to say I feel pretty good about the long winter.
I agree.
A long winter? Yeah.
Okay.
Do we care about initiative?
Hey, Tommy's back.
We haven't decided.
Not if we're skipping the longships.
Right. We haven't really decided. We need economy either way, right? So we're going to add the noble. Just because, noble should be in the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
We're Martell, so we're going to be stupidly short draw.
Do we need counting?
No, we need Ranger's Cash.
We're going to be...
Does that work for everybody?
Cash gives us the flexibility, because we're... Being Martell like this, we're likely to be strapped for cash and or draw. I like that flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone agrees?
And that's a winter plot, too.
If you're teetering on thinking about doing winter, it's a good idea to leave that one.
We have three winter plots right now?
We do. Yeah,
I think and that's then, plenty for Fish Whiskers.
I'd like one more if we can, but we'll see that later. We need confiscation, right? The meta demands it.
Yeah, particularly. I mean, I assume we're going to run Nymeria, and Nymeria is just utterly useless if she's confiscated.
Well, you can do confiscation, or you can do weapons at the door.
We're Martell. Are we not going to want any of that? Hey, we wanted... Okay. Scantrell's original idea was that they can't defend, right? There's a way to do that that's not longships, right?
Icon removal?
No.
Stealth?
No. There's an attachment.
Fishing nets?
Oh, fishing
nets. Fishing nets.
There we go.
I'm sitting here I'm waiting. Yeah, we can add fishing nets and get most of that concept through, can't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
it.
Yeah,
I think so.
I mean, I think with the winter plots, except for Snowed Under, there's not a lot of high initiative ones. The raiding longships are just not going to be reliable enough with the plot deck as we're building it right now. So that's a good alternative.
Calling the banners. Yeah. Because we're really short gold at this point.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you mentioned wanting maybe another winter plot, and it is, decent income. Do we look at a copy of Snowed Under to give us some flexibility?
Nope.
We know we win initiative if we're, down on power.
Does initiative matter anymore? Or does it matter enough to, dedicate a plot slot to it?
Maybe not.
Why don't we talk about what other plots we might want first?
Can I just go through some options?
Well, trading would be the first one I'm thinking of, but after that, Aaron, feel free.
I don't think we're running enough high-cost stuff for trading.
I think our curve's going to be fairly low.
Yeah, so a serious question that we have to decide immediately before we go any further. Varys or no Varys?
I'm leaning towards.
I actually feel too much treachery and too much target kill.
I actually kind of feel like this might be one of those decks where it's a one of Varus.
I could do a one of Varus. Okay, so if we're looking at no Varus, we don't necessarily need something that has that extra high gold, right? Hey, heads on spikes?
No, we know what that card.
Spikes is really good with Gaston.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm still a big fan of heads on spikes.
Are we going to have enough intrigue, though, to hit their hand every turn?
I think we might want to have a good chance. Once we see what our icon spread is.
Where Martell, we don't have to worry about hitting their hand every turn. We've got a card that does that. We've got two cards that do that for us.
Dare we look at something like Here to Serve to give us kind of an econ card advantage boost? We've got two respectable, if not amazing, maesters available to us in this house pairing.
Yeah, they're plots. I don't like respectable.
We are running first never.
Yeah, and I want amazing.
That's fair. That's fair.
I kind of like the heads on spikes idea, but if that's we're pushing heavily and now we're running whatever the zero drop, help me, his Viper Eyes and the Bastard Daughters at that point. So you guys decide if you like those two cards.
We also
I love cards.
We don't have Marched yet either.
Marched may have
a... I mean, after a first snow, I would assume we're probably going long winter.
Almost certainly. I mean, at that point we have Asha and Face Whiskers or Asha and Nymeria or something like that, you can put a lot of pressure with that combo. So March doesn't necessarily make as much sense.
Okay, I can see that. So you mentioned confiscation earlier. What about going two rattle shirts instead?
I think we have to do probably both, no? Like, the meta isn't playing with attachments right now.
That's fair. I haven't played that many games since True Steel came out, so...
Yeah, attachments are kind of...
They're a problem. I mean, war...
I mean, not even just there's a lot of them. Like, I think that FFG made a pretty big mistake in not printing more attachment control at this point, because that so many of them return to hand means that these one-off solutions, it's just easy to overpower the amount of hate that exists for them.
So I mentioned before Weapons of the Door, the one thing I like about that is, yeah, we might play the icon removing attachments, but what's fun about that plot is if better targets come along, you can use that offensively to get your icon removers back. And then you don't have to worry about the fact that you immediately threw it onto somebody that was a suboptimal target to start with.
Yeah, it's also pretty solid to give us that one turn. We might need Nymeria, if she's been milked, to push removal through on one of their key characters and things like that. So, I mean, I like Weapons at the Door, and the high initiative is really nice because it lets you set the tempo of the turn.
I'd be worried about running up against Reserve with exactly. Weapons at the Door.
Yeah, the reserve.
Especially since we have first snow as well, bouncing cards back to hand.
I agree with that, but since we're hurting so much for card draw, I don't know that we're going to be in that situation where we're going to be in a good enough situation card-wise that it matters.
Both summons and building orders exist, just a reminder. If we're hurting for card advantage, grabbing a Gaston is a pretty solid call.
Yeah. If anything, I like building orders, yeah.
Yeah, and flexibility to grab the fishing nets or icon removers if the situation warrants it.
I like that.
Although at the same time right now, we definitely have... I mean, we're putting winter plots in our deck largely for one card, which is Fish Whiskers. Like, shouldn't we also run summons to make the variance on seeing this pretty key character go a little bit lower?
I mean, that
sounds reasonable.
We're partially running it for Fist Whiskers, yes. We're also partially running it for shutting off Winterfell, which is going to be every third match of your tournament. In addition, First Snow and the Long Winter are just straight up good plots.
Yeah.
Our third winter plot is Ranger's Kish, which is really, like, while it's not as good, it's basically taking the place of our Accounts and Coppers. So, like, it's three winter plots. It's not, a million, and it's not plots that aren't... One is mildly suboptimal, and the other two just fit the deck.
Absolutely. So building orders, then?
Yeah, that gives me seven. Noble Cause building orders, calling, confiscation, cash, first snow, long winter.
Agreed. Can we go to attachments next? Would we be okay with going to attachments next?
Ooh, this is very interesting on the deck build. I'm curious. Let's do it.
I feel like attachments and events are going to define what characters we want.
Well, we've already talked about fishing nets, so that's probably the one we want to most debate. So,
are we going 3x on it?
I think 2 is plenty.
2 is where I'm at.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Okay, 2.
Because the icon removing attachments are also non-setup cards as well. So between all the attachments and events, we're probably going to be pushing 15 non-setup cards.
Very quick.
So,
I mean, we probably want a tainted, right? If we were talking about Taiying being the top of our curve, at least so, two.
Yeah, two seems right.
It's good on Catelyn, who's all over the place right now as well.
Do we want any? Yeah, I guess we should probably, again, overloading attachments is not the worst idea in the world right now, right? Do we want some milks?
Do we prefer milk to any more of the other icon attachments?
Basically, yes.
Yeah, I like milk more than the other two.
So three milks?
Yep. If you're gonna run milk, I think you run three at this point because everyone's running. So a lot of people
with
are
our
just
building orders.
A lot of people are just running one confiscation, right?
I mean, I can't think of anyone that's, you know, a tournament winning deck list that's running two confiscations.
No. I mean, like, as far as attachment removal goes, period. Oh, yeah. A lot of people are just running one confiscation. So the value of that second milk is exponentially higher than the value of that first milk. And running two doesn't guarantee you're seeing two. Running three means you're very likely to see that second one.
And milk is definitely a card we want to see in just about every matchup at this point, right? I mean, it's good against every single faction except for Night's Watch. And even Night's Watch is good on the old bear, so...
Yeah, I think that's it for attachments then, probably.
Yeah, that puts us at seven.
So, events okay?
Yep.
Two or three.
Do we want to discuss if we're going to use tourney grounds before we decide on the events?
I don't think we're going to have space with seven attachments.
I don't think we are either.
I agree with that.
So, loot, how many? 3x?
I don't know. It's competing with Ahead of the Tide for slots in this deck.
Hey, I don't know. Roy's building the deck. I hear he likes to put six of the best events in decks.
We want to put, what's the card? The new one.
Tide?
Not Tide. Oh my god, he's Viper Eyes.
Yeah, two or three.
I would want to start at three, but maybe go down to two once we see what our events are. It's such a good card, though.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to settle on two, but it's so crazy. And gosh, maybe I just convinced myself to go up to three because I got hit by two of them on one challenge last weekend, and I had to do a double take because, of course, I had it in my head that it was limited once per challenge. It is very much not.
So I had a choice of challenges to make the other day in a game where I used it, and the opponent had two cards in hand and four gold. And one of the cards was the Hound. So then I was like, well, I can win an Intrigue or Power. Power's going to push me really close to victory. The other card was Miri. So I, you know, did the Intrigue. It's really good.
Yeah, Viper Eyes. I personally would say three. Like, it's just a really clutch card.
The knowledge is huge.
Yeah.
What else do we
want? So you prefer that to any Hand's Judgments then? I'm fine with three if we don't have Hand's Judgment.
Yeah, I don't actually care about Hand's Judgment. I feel like this deck mostly cares about character-wise Arion.
So we want,
yeah, I don't think we can fit it.
We want the tiers then. We need removal, right?
I think.
Do we need tiers on top of Taiying? Or if we do, do we need many copies?
I think we need at least two.
Yeah, I would say two. And then not Confinement, not Doran's Game, not in Doran's Name. We want Nightmare?
We have three other choices.
I was looking at Nightmares. Part of me still wants at least one Vengeance for Elia in there, just to kind of keep the other players honest, so to speak.
Yeah, I like that as a show me.
A cheeky Vengeance for Elia as our British friends would say.
If we're throwing in a one of a two cost event, I think it should be put to the sword.
See, I almost want two put the sword. The thing that I'm just worried about between Taiying and Tears is that we're just going really all in on Intrigue, and I'm not sure we're necessarily taking advantage of the other challenge capabilities that Greyjoy brings to the table for us.
Okay, so two put?
Two puts instead of two Tears?
No, both.
Both.
I really don't like Put to the Sword or Vengeance that much without Tourney Grounds or Tyrion or some way to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I asked about the Tourney Grounds first.
That's why I only wanted a one of.
Okay. Do we compromise?
I'd like to go three Viper Eyes, three Tears, and one of either Put to the Sword or Vengeance.
See,
I would do too.
I think I'm fine with two Tears, but I could be convinced for three.
Well, does Doran's Name solve some? What is this card or this deck kneeling its faction card for?
All right, let's stop. Let's not do events anymore. Let's keep three His Viper Eyes, three Tears, and we can come back to events at the end because we don't know yet. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
I think so. The character base will probably know more, so we'll see.
Locations, because they should be easy.
Sure.
Three Blood Orange, Three Gas, and Three Iron Mines.
Three Kings Road and Rose Road as well.
I mean, yeah. And then we have two other cards to decide upon.
So we're talking about two or three Blood Orange Groves, I'm sorry.
It's an Arion deck. With Arion, you always run three.
Yep.
You want to see it.
Yeah.
So we're not running enough faction events, at least right now, for Shadow Black. So that doesn't make sense.
Our other location options are Sunspear, which with either the first snow turn or the long winter turn right after are just absolute monsters. Or the Boneway, which is really good, and Tourney Grounds.
Man, so, I just love hearing you say that they're really good. Pretty sure you're on that one.
We all shat on it. In 2 weeks, part of our 250th episode spectacular will be cards from the first cycle we were wrong about.
Exactly.
I really don't think this deck can afford the tempo hit of the Boneway early, which is when you want to play it.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
What are we looking for in total location? With the ones that we already listed, I feel like I'm at 15.
That's what I've got.
We're at 15 already.
Yeah, also, that feels to me like that might be enough.
Okay, so we can move over to...
I think we're good.
Characters.
Save ourselves a little bit of room on characters. At the moment, so, 32 slots for characters, I guess. And that's with us tabling events. So, like, I'm worried we may be squeezing ourselves out on the character.
So, can we go to Hota?
Since we're running first snow.
I like one. We have first snow to bounce him back.
And can I present why we want the second?
I'm with you on the second, Aaron.
Miri Mazder. That's my whole reason.
Did you push her out of a challenge?
Yeah, she has to attack alone. She's then knelt. You're basically set.
Do we feel like we can challenge?
Yeah, but do we feel like we can sit on enough?
We're running three Arion. Arion is like.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you're never paying for him
unless you do something bad, right? Like unless you're in trouble.
Totally.
I still hate drawing that second copy of Hota when he's already on the table.
Really, I don't. I just dupe him. He's still a five strength.
He's really good at stopping sports.
Yeah. Like he's just a good body. He's also really good for the Greyjoy match.
Yes, he is. Two or three.
Two. Two is my general go-to. Do you want three?
I mean, I always like three Asha, but
I think two is a reasonable place to start for us because we know we're going to be kind of light on room.
Bastard daughter.
I would say three though. Like weenie characters don't get much better than that.
Yeah, definitely three.
Claim soak, reasonable for setup, and like built in.
And second icons for when you have Nymeria.
Absolutely. Yeah. They become ridiculously annoying at that point.
Three Desert Scavenger.
Yep.
Dura Martel can kiss parts of me I shouldn't say on a PG podcast.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
So how many fish whiskers, I think, is the next question.
Or is Edric just terrible?
Edric's good with Lannister when you're bannering to Lannister, because sometimes Tyrion is shit school. Otherwise, don't bother.
Not here.
We're not running summons, and he seems to be, while he's not the only reason we're running winter plots, one of the key reasons. So without summons, I say three.
He's a five for three. I say two.
Okay.
I say two as well.
Targ didn't fall out of the meta. It's basically my only explanation for that.
Sure.
Yeah, Dracarys is still a thing.
Yeah, green blood.
He's also likely to die. Plane is a thing, so.
Yeah, people are going to tears the fuck out of him, too. And I don't like running three of things that are going to be tears pretty quickly. Although we do have his Viper Eyes to semi-protect.
Yeah.
Still.
I mean, we've got there.
Yeah. It's just, I think I still would prefer to. If we need more characters, we can always come back, right?
Three Green Bloods or two?
Three. It's the Green Blood
Train. Three.
Yeah, we've got three. Definitely.
And we're running for a snow yet. So
three fishmongers or two?
We don't know how many. Can we come back to them last? I'm pretty sure three, but like I want to see how many Greyjoy characters we end up with.
Sure.
Any of the armies? The new one?
I love Knights of the Sun.
Two of?
Sure.
I think two is good. There are no attachments, so they can't be warded.
Yeah. Mr. Littlefinger?
One.
We're running at least one, yeah.
Yeah, we need to draw on the icon.
One.
Yeah. Shipwrights? Well, do we want any of the clutch location control?
One shipwright.
Is there a matchup we need them for? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Martell Mirrors.
Vera.
Yeah.
This deck isn't reliably going first. But.
Yeah, but that's what I was going to say. It's Vera, well, since we don't have the initiative.
I don't think this is worth it.
Okay.
Stark.
What's it, Nilan and Stark? Gates.
Yeah.
You can nail the gates.
That's what I was looking at.
I like one.
You like
it's
one?
It's nice if you draw them and if you don't, oh well.
Okay. One Kaliot.
Yep,
definitely.
No Maester of Starfall?
No. God, what?
How about Windy?
I definitely think
one.
I don't like Windy at all, but I... Really? All right, he's going to be where I start with.
Maybe we trim him.
I could see skipping him.
I like him.
I cut him in every deck. I don't even run him in my solo Greyjoy anymore.
Yeah, I don't really like him that much anymore.
Newly made, two?
Yeah.
Okay. Three Nymerias or two Nymerias?
Three. Nymeria. Yeah, Nymeria is just an automatic three of.
Right, one Obara? Obara,
then? Yeah, one.
Oh, really?
So we're already
If we're going three Nymeria,
she feels like a...
Really? It's a three-coster that has one icon.
One and a half.
Well, yeah, one and a half.
Yeah, and we're running first snow. Like, this, none of this is good. Like, Obara is so cut if we're at 60 cards already.
All right.
I'd rather keep her than Wendemir.
I'd rather keep neither, but we'll get there because we still have to add at least one Rattleshirts and Sirio.
No Quentin.
And Tyene. We can't afford
Quentin.
Okay. Now that we're looking at the rest of that deck... Maybe I did just talk myself into going ahead and dropping Obara and Wendemir to make room for some of those.
Right.
Okay.
Two?
Be great if we're running Wildfire, which we are. So one or two Rattleshirts?
One.
I think just was probably going to...
And then Sirio?
One Sirio, yeah?
Yeah.
Add
two Tyene. Though I may have just skipped Theon.
Did we? Do we still run Theon?
I'm not running Theon.
I say zero.
Yeah. He's just such terrible bait.
I mean, you don't have to use the reaction every time. You can just put like one power on him and then stop if you have to, if you're against Stark.
Sure, but then he's just a 4-for-3 stealth. I mean, I guess that's worthwhile. I don't know.
I'd rather have two Tyene.
Well, we're definitely adding two Tyene, right? And then the question becomes, we're at exactly 32 characters and 60 cards, which is the wrong number for a deck, so we have to add one more card. Might as well be Theon. Or
did you not add Shipwrights? Is that right?
I added one Shipwright.
Yeah, one Shipwright.
Another option would be the Wildling Horde.
Nah, I don't care for that much.
I think we have plenty of Ariane targets.
So, okay, look at the characters. Are there any characters you would like to cut to add events?
Not particularly.
Yeah. No, I actually...
Like 32 is pretty light on the characters.
I kind of want a quest.
Well, we need one to add one more card, right?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I thought we decided the Theon. So
my concern with Theon, like, actually onto the podcast, my concern with Theon is on a first snow turn, him getting taken from you is literally just, like, almost game ending.
Yeah, I think Theon's just too... one, it's super thematic, is dealing with Ward, right? But he's just, like, too juicy a target for most Stark players who would like the stealth for at least one turn. On a first snow turn, that's when Ward becomes one of the most clutch cards in the game. He's just a really dangerous card right now, I think.
Okay.
I agree, and that's why I kind of want Quentin instead.
Here's a note. One thing that's worth pointing out as we went scrolling through, we didn't come back to the Fishmongers, so we have none of that in the deck right now.
I kind of like two, and just... But then we have to cut a Shipwright or something else. I don't know. I'm willing to take a opinion. What do we got?
What's our total count on Greyjoy characters?
We've got 13 Greyjoy cards right now. Wait, do we? We might have 12. Give me a second. 4, 5.
With two Fishmongers, that gives us 13 or 14. You guys did two newly made Lords?
Yeah. Yes. So we had five outside of five.
So only like seven characters.
Not counting Theon, we had exactly 12. Not counting Theon, not adding the Fishmongers, we had exactly 12. Two Asha, two Fishwhiskers, two newly made, one Shipwright, two Net, three Mines.
So do we want two newly made Lords? What are we worried about blowing up with him?
So Barra is always my first concern when I add newly made Lord. The Mirror, other Gastons are fucking everywhere, which is completely obnoxious. Although it matters less to us. Plazas are obnoxious. Opposing Iron Mines on things like first snow turns. Opposing Greyjoy basically every goddamn location they run. It is a dead card against Lannister, but a live important card against every other matchup that exists.
And if someone breaks the Tower of the Hand build at some point, I think newly made Lord is actually the meta for it right now, since Lannister's a little bit on the decline and houses that use a lot of locations are a little bit more on the rise.
Okay, so what if we cut the Shipwright to keep the two newly made Lords, and then we can add some Fishmongers?
I can get behind that.
We're cutting Theon at that point?
Yeah, cut Theon.
Okay.
So cut Theon, cut the whatever that weenie's name is, Shipwright. And eventually cut the Shipwright once Throne CB stops freezing.
Yeah, it's been running kind of slow for me too. So that puts us back to exactly 61, right?
the right number of 61. Birds, AKA the right number of birds.
So I have a couple of meta questions about this deck as we built it now. How well is it going to set up?
Amazingly.
I think it should be all right. We only have 6 events and 7 attachments. That's 13 non-setup cards. We have Iron Mines and Gaston are both really good on setup.
And then we have just a lot of guys that we can set up like 4s with a couple 1s or 2s.
Do we want to?
Yeah, the Knights of the Sun are pretty solid on setup.
Yeah.
What was our decision on the attachments? It was 3 fishing nets, 3 milk of the poppy?
And no, 2 nets, 2 attainted, 3 milk.
Okay, good. That's what I had.
There's something we're missing with this deck.
Do we want to act?
What's our opener?
Our opener is largely going to be either Noble or Building.
What are we going to fetch with Building most of the time?
Ideally Gaston, but you could do worse than a milk or a net or tainted.
Yeah, or even an Iron Mines in that situation.
Okay, well, what do we think this deck beats?
Honestly, more than you'd think, I would assume. This deck's going to make it very, very hard for opponents to win things they care about, or like have their victories actually mean anything.
Oh, it's going to make Stark, as it's currently built, really annoyed.
Yeah, I think Martell is really underrated as a whole right now.
That this should handle Stark. Became our whole focus, I guess, kind of making sure that this ruins a lot of what Stark's depending on.
I'm pretty sure it smashes
Martell.
It should beat other Martell. It should smash Lannister in the face.
We don't have any positive attachments, so Greyjoy could give us a little trouble.
I mean, so much of that's going to be Tyene.
And Tyene is really good in the matchup, and Nymeria is really good in the Greyjoy matchup. If you can control Baylan pretty successfully, I think that matchup's pretty manageable. Because this deck might be able to put enough pressure on a Greyjoy player that they can't really do all of their shenanigans.
Well, and that's where you're searching for the milk, right? For the Baylan matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Or a Gaston, his Viper Eyes, or Tears, or a Tyene.
You've got a bevy of options. You're not hurting for
wins to save from the chair.
Noble Cause isn't the right fucking plot.
Well,
that should be trading.
I agree.
Because we just don't have enough lords and ladies?
Ariane is important, but like Ariane, Asha, Littlefinger, newly made lord.
It feels bad to be
able to... Yeah, I could see going trading.
Newly made lord.
Yeah, I'd much rather have trading.
Okay, all right,
I'll get behind that.
Trading is, I think, my favorite part of the game right now. We're missing something, though. Something's off, and it's almost certainly Nightmares.
So you want to find room for Nightmares, even with the milks? I mean, 6 ways to blank the key character for at least 1 turn.
Well, I think Nightmares is a 2-of, but I'm almost certain we need Nightmares. My gut is telling me Nightmares.
And what do we cut?
Well, does everyone agree? Because my gut's telling me Nightmares doesn't mean anyone agrees.
I mean, I kind of thought about it when we first started looking at events, but at this point, I don't know that there's anything that I'm ambivalent about enough that I feel good about cutting. Maybe 1 blank.
Looks right now.
You both talked at once and I didn't get it. What? Maybe 1 what?
Maybe 1 Blood Orange Grove if we're looking at going with trading instead.
No. Blood Orange Grove is important because it's repeatable, not because it's... So.
I always love having Nightmares, but I don't want to cut anything for it in the way that we have it right now.
Okay.
Okay, so... One final sort of meta question about this deck, then. What is this deck's trouble matchup? I'm guessing Bera.
Targ? I don't think it gives a shit about Bera.
Yeah, the Neil could be an issue, but you've also got a lot of ways to make sure that Bera's not drawing an extra and strip out whatever they do.
Whatchamacallit really hates Gaston. Bob really hates Gaston.
Since we switched to trading, do we need calling still? Could that be close call instead to get us Ariane or Nymeria or Tyene out of the dead pile?
Then we needed King's Road or Rose Road to ever play Tyene.
We have trading,
obviously, but like
reliable economy plots, right? That you can play a big or a couple big characters, and right if we go down to with just trading, we only have 1. It's close call. You know, can't necessarily give you more than 5 gold, unlike trading.
That's fair. Just an idea, because I'm a little bit concerned about 3 Nymeria and 3 Ariane.
Especially since Burn is our worst matchup.
Yeah, Ariane's more lazy to protect, but yeah.
Yeah, I think Tyene is the harder one. Like, Nymeria, unless things are truly going wrong for you, you can usually protect Ariane.
So,
all right, I think it looks
you guys,
good, man.
You guys can do what you want, but I'm finding room for 2 Varus.
You're gonna. What are you cutting for 2 Varus?
Yeah, gosh.
So what are you cutting for 2 Varus, though?
1 bastard daughter.
Okay. Well, okay.
That's rough. That keeps pushing that curve higher up. I would probably myself look at Knights of the Sun before the bastard daughters.
Knights of the Sun is just fantastic with first snow.
Yeah, it really is. One tiers.
That's
so why do you want Varys?
Because occasionally you're going to be playing a Lannister like house or Targ, or and they're just going to on turn two shit out the monsterest of monster boards. And this deck's only reset is first snow.
It's also really good against the stupid Night's Watch.
By turn two, when they have Tyrion, Tywin, Jaime, and Gregor by turn two or three, you either lost that game or you have Varys.
I agree, Aaron. But the problem with... Can this deck protect Varys, though? Because, you know, right now I feel like the boards that are just full of shit, like you were saying, have also enough targeted removal that they can just pop, you know, point-and-click Varys out of that board, and then you've spent six gold, and you're now even further behind.
I'm sitting on three Iron Mines and Building Orders.
Yeah.
And his Viper Eyes.
My other problem with Varys is that the Lanny decks will usually have at least one of those guys duped, and we don't have Marched here.
That's fine. They'll have one of them duped. I'd rather deal with one of them than all of them. Like, I don't want Varys for that one guy. When I have that one guy, he's an intrigue icon that I'm probably just going to let sit in hand or not freak out about. But when I don't have that option, like when...
And if you can get him down to that one duped guy, then you pour all your attachments onto that guy.
And you have Gaston Grey. And
exactly.
Targeted kill. So, like, there's options. That's fair. That far. I mean,
I would just prefer to claw back in with the Tears and Gaston than to rely on Varys.
I mean, it's not a Varys deck. It's not a rely on Varys deck. That's why it's two and there's no summons, not three and summons, right? Like, it's a... Occasionally, I'm going to need a hand grenade. I'm not going to need a fine instrument. I'm going to need something to nuke shit. Like, I can see that with this deck, given, like, even just the fact that it's only got one or two real stealths. And then, like, a lot of big guys on the other side of the board are going to end games. Like,
yeah, Night's Watch would
hilariously eat this deck without Varys, right? Like, just silly things are going to give you more trouble than you really want if you don't have a way to say, let's start this over.
Night's Watch was exactly the reason that I was like, we got to have at least one in there.
The other thing that Varys has going for him right now is I don't think people are actually really prepared for Varys right now. Having played in a couple of big tournaments, people don't really play around Varys anymore the way they were, say, in the early winter. So you might be able to catch an opponent overextending when they are pretty sure you're not running Wildfire. As your reset, they just think you're running for a snow. They don't realize Varys is in your deck, and they will just get owned.
Yeah, I have to say, I think I'm in on the Varys game plan as well. I feel like we've got a good bit of targeted kill, but not quite the like broad punch that I would like to see in something that is fairly reset line from this deck looks right now. We've only got one 2-flame plot. We don't have so we're not just getting that kind of aggregate constant removal added there. We also don't have much in the way of kind of speed, aside from maybe some multiple stealthy challenges out of Asha. So we're not like racing and trying to claim those last few power before someone that's spreading wider than we can handle. So I like the price.
Yeah, I mean, like I just kept staring at it and the deck was missing something, and I need a release valve, I think, more than anything else.
I'm just a little worried about the setups when you add Varys, but that's fine.
I mean, I cut one setup card and I cut one non-setup card. So it's worse, but not significantly.
Seems like a reasonable call. You've convinced me.
You cut one Tears. What was the other one you had suggested?
Bastard daughter.
A bastard daughter.
One bastard daughter.
I mean, your other cut, and don't make me do it, but your other cut is Rattle Shirts.
I personally would rather cut that than cut the bastard daughter.
Okay, yeah.
I think we're more likely to get the consistent card advantage out of the bastard daughter.
Okay.
I also don't like cutting icons if we're running two attainted. It kind of
We've also got two attained.
Fair.
Well, okay, but attainted also offers us the nice extra benefit of letting us win more intrigue challenges, which sounds silly, but like now we're running Varys, so winning more intrigue challenges is good.
Well, and to not have to worry about defending it.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, if you want the third tiers, that's fine, but make the other cut a non-setup card or a harder to set up card.
I don't really see where the other cuts would be.
I mean, I do. There's like eight possible
cuts. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything else.
The deck's not that tight. Like, we could do one Knights of the Sun if we really needed to, because now, like, we're less likely to rush and need that speed. We could potentially cut Syrio. Serio's really good, but he's definitely a luxury for this deck. Like, there's
I could cut Calliope.
You can cut Calliope because Calliope getting boarded is a fucking nightmare. There's just, like, there's things to cut if you guys decide you want to cut, but...
Actually, like the Serio idea.
Cut Serio?
Yeah, because we're not running Put to the Sword or anything that we really need to push through a military challenge.
Okay.
I'm more so like giving stealth to Tyene.
I mean, if we're not winning Intrigue with this deck, we're doing something wrong. Tywin, if we don't see a Tainted, we also have... Tywin, if we don't see a Tainted, net. But we also have the Fishing Net, and we have Nymeria, right? So like,
yeah, there is a lot there.
If they have that Intrigue, I've got them.
Three answers in the deck for Tywin. I think that's pretty solid.
So we are cutting the Rattleshirts and Serio, then?
Yes.
Okay. Are you sure we want to keep the... Like, can we add a different low-cost card instead of the third Bastard's Daughter? Because Serio makes Bastard's Daughters worse.
You could always cut the third one and run 60 cards like a normal person.
Obviously, I'm not going to do that. I mean, you guys can. Like, if our decks are a card off, no one's going to, like, the world shan't end. thinking. Playing.
I'm just waiting on the Igot Setup Analyzer to finish running on the build here with Varys. Granted, this is the one that I kept the Bastard Daughter and Serio, but dropped the Rattleshirts Raiders. So I'm curious to say it's at 94%. Let's see what we get. Okay, 17.7% chance of having a poor setup in 4 games. 25.3% of having a poor setup in 6. 32.2% of poor setup in 8. 38.5 in 10.
So
that's pretty high.
Serio is my Serio is my 61st card because we've got 7 whole goddamn military icons in this deck, and Serio basically counts as 2 military icons.
Yeah, gosh. Let's see, what else are we looking at? I am liking when we look at the gold used, we're getting a pretty high ratio of a full eight gold used at almost 70%, 67.7, and then 7 golds are almost 21%, so that doesn't look too bad. Cards and setup, skews almost exactly equal at about 43% for 3 of the cards. So.
Yeah, are you considering 3 cards a bad setup?
What is the cutoff for bad setup if it got
missing? 4, the base one is 4, or it's less than 3, sorry.
Okay. So 2 is a bad setup. That would be a problem.
That seems odd. There's got to be more into that calculation, because the general card setup in their 5,000 runs says 2 card setup only 2.5% of the time.
So it might be if you don't use enough gold as well.
Yeah, but I don't care if we don't use enough gold.
Possibly econ cards as well. Though it looks like about half the time we should have 1 econ card, and then another quarter of the time have 2 econ cards. So I feel, you know, pretty good 3/4 of the time.
I think with our plots, it's more important that we set up at least 1 econ card than the average deck.
We're running the right number of econ cards. I'm not worried about the deck's economy once we get past setup.
Yeah, what more econ cards could we run?
I don't think we could add more. I'm just saying that our plots aren't heavily economy influenced.
Calling and trading seems like plenty to me.
Ranger's Cache could always just mean 2 extra gold, too.
Yeah,
that's true. I forget about that. Because I just feel like calling isn't as good as it was.
I don't think I agree.
It still reliably gets 6.
Yeah, and I think that's a sweet spot to be.
And we did go all 9 limited locations.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I feel a little better now.
Yeah, I feel really good about it.
All right, Scantrell is going to record games with this deck and tell us how it goes.
Absolutely.
What's awesome. Your YouTube, Steve?
Who's Steve?
It's linked in that community fact we were talking about earlier.
How about you just tell us for the listeners who aren't going to go find a fact?
Trying to set you up.
The username is TomahawkChop024, which I set up a long ass time ago.
I mean,
it's really it's a brave reference.
Still better than Faux Intel.
Love you too, Aaron.
I like that the one thing you're sensitive about is your screen name.
Maybe he should change it to Faux Pizza?
That's so accurate.
I think it's time for something.
You could blend those two together and have Faux Hawk.
Love it.
Roy, can you get a faux hawk and then eat faux pizza? And can I get a picture of this?
Never.
He eats faux meat all the time.
I do eat faux meat all the time. And I do eat, according by Aaron standards, faux pizza all the time. But I will never, ever, ever, ever in my life have a faux hawk.
Let's get him really drunk at Gen Con and shave his head into a faux hawk.
Yeah, that's
that would be happen. A real faux hawk.
I think it is.
A faux hawk is just right. Like gel.
Future police, you are more than welcome to use this as evidence. If Aaron does that, I will stab him to death.
It's worth it.
I think that is a great segue. Props and slops.
So Roy leading off with slopping faux hawks.
Yeah, slopping faux hawks like no one's business. They're morally reprehensible hairstyles.
I don't know if morally reprehensible hairstyles exist.
I've seen some mullets that were pretty morally reprehensible. See? No one's even defending mullets.
No one's even defending mullets.
They're undefendable.
Hey, I want to slop the shit out of babies right after they get vaccines.
Yeah, that's kind of painful for them.
It's also kind of annoying for the parents. I'm with you on that, Aaron.
Yeah. Oh my god. So fucking like fussy. Yeah. I'm gonna also slot people who don't believe in vaccines because you're not real people. You're just dumb, bad people.
Would that make them faux people?
They are faux people.
I'm going to throw out some props to the Kansas City Planet Comic Con that I was at over the weekend. Great show. It has increased in size again this year. Someone told me like about 30% in attendance. So they were basically using up the whole convention hall this time around. So that was good. Got to meet Stan the Man Lee. Walk past him while he signed something, and then later the next day walk past him while someone snapped a camera in our general direction. They don't really let anyone stop and speak to Stan Lee. They just keep the line moving on.
He's like 300. They're probably just scared he's going to say something crazy.
Exactly.
So was he
or
signing?
Literally die at the
Ooh, poor Stan.
He seems
poor
like a nice
Stan,
guy.
Really?
Yeah. No, very rich Stan.
Yeah.
It was expensive.
Very rich.
I wonder actually how rich Stan Lee is, considering how many like really pathetic licensing deals the man has signed over the years. One wonders he may not be the best person with his money.
It may
Google
maybe
says
spent
his net worth is 50 to 200 million.
Yeah,
Google.
That's a big range.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, no, it's not. Like 50 million to 200 million makes literally no difference in your quality of life.
Oh, I'm sure. It just seems like a strange gap to me. I don't know. 50 to 200. That's a big increase. I mean, yes, I know.
It's probably the same tax bracket.
Hey, I want to slop something for now that could be a prop later.
Okay.
I want to slop Comixology Unlimited.
Why do you want that?
They started this Unlimited like subscription service like Netflix for comics, which Marvel already has. But Marvel has a lot of comics, and Comixology really doesn't have a lot of comics on it. And it costs more per year than Marvel Unlimited. So both of those things annoy me.
How much is the Comixology program?
I think it's what?
Six a month?
Yeah, six a month, something like that. Yeah, I think a lot of people are really hostile to Comixology right now, like the Unlimited. Like, they're a little afraid of it actually becoming a Netflix of comics. Because Comixology, right, what makes it somewhat different than Netflix is it's still, because of the way in which the digital medium exists right now for comics, it's like the only major place to get most comics. And a lot of publishers are really scared that Amazon will use that as a tool to force them to give their comics out in a way that is profitable for Amazon, but not necessarily profitable for Image or Dark Horse or, to a lesser extent, DC. Because Marvel doesn't really care because Marvel has Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah, that seems marvelously likely.
So, I mean, I can almost guarantee that Amazon wants to undercut, you know, based on their behavior as Amazon, the book publisher. Like, I can see why comic book publishers are a little nervous about this new Comixology program.
Yep. Hey, can I prop you on the wall for their great episode this week?
But Aaron, there was no episode this week.
I have this vague memory of around Christmas when we took like a week off, them throwing massive shade at us for taking a week off, announced weeks in advance. Where are you at, Heinz?
It's true. And we have a backup show that runs when Will isn't able to do episodes because he's doing important life
there
things.
There you go.
So.
Well, Beyond the Wall this week was just as good as the week before.
Which is actually better than the week before that.
First off, Steve, I really want to prop you for that was A-plus level shade you just threw at those guys. I love it.
That was good. That was so good, Scantrell. I don't even think I'm deleting this shade from the episode like I usually do.
It's just they talk so much shit about us.
Well, is it okay if I plug something real quick?
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Cool.
This whole stupid section.
We're having a tournament in Atlanta in September, the 16th, 17th, and 18th. It's going to be a whole weekend. We're going to do draft, joust, and melee. And we're getting some pretty cool prize support from that, so I'm really excited about it.
Very cool.
Very cool. I want to...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Steve. You have more?
I was just going to say there's already some people from out of state showing interest, so if anybody is listening to this in Florida or North Carolina, Tennessee, I hope you guys come down.
I want to prop Patrick from Team Wright's Masters Draft. I think Patrick did a really good job, and so did Sid and Greg. It's a really interesting program. You should look out for some future recorded episodes that are going to come up in the next week or two. And yeah, if you're interested in sort of seeing Thrones played at a very competitive but fun level in a non-traditional manner, there's a great opportunity. And I think Patrick did a really good job running it.
Agreed. They nailed that. I was a little bummed I was out of town, not able to kind of witness everything live, but I've heard nothing but phenomenal feedback about it. So
it's really cool.
Yeah, I watched it afterwards on Twitch, and it was fantastic. I'm really excited about how Draft is shaping up in second edition.
That actually leads me immediately into a slop, unfortunately. And that is, dear listeners, you were hoping this week, I think, to hear the announcement of the listeners that would be participating in the live fan draft for episode 250. But unfortunately, that idea must not have resonated with the listeners as much as we were hoping, and we did not actually receive enough entries to have the event. Regardless of what people's guesses were on most drafted cards. So back to the drawing board. We're going to cook up some other stuff for episode 250. My thanks to those that did enter, and my apologies as well.
I'm going to jump in there with a slop and slop Dell laptops, and any of the microphones that I chose to try and use earlier this evening because they were just awful. So, screw technology.
Hey, I want to prop Will.
Yeah, my laptop is literally falling apart.
Yeah, I'm getting a new one for Father's Day. I want to prop Will for 250 fucking episodes.
It's ridiculous, man.
Whoa,
good job.
Whoa, don't jinx things by pre-propping. We still have another week to go. Anything could happen.
It's Team Right. If no one shows up for it, no one will even notice.
Oh, ouch.
I mean, unless Daryl is on, in which case we all listen to him.
We should prop Daryl for showing up. That Daryl was the highlight of last week's episode. I really, really enjoyed, and I would love if Daryl could make it more often.
Yeah, he's the highlight of any episode he's on. And if anyone is on the fence about attending our regional, which will be starting the day after you hear this, Daryl's going to be at it, so come on down.
So one final question for those of you who are watching it. So who would prop and who would slop the show last week?
Wait, the show?
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, Thrones.
Thrones,
I was like, you mean the white book? We just talked about that.
No.
quick question. Are we delving into spoiler territory or non-spoiler territory?
Let's just say spoilers. If you're still listening, fuck you. Jon Snow's alive.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure the listeners had the warning.
Yeah, I'm sort of slopping it. Like there's things I liked about the episode, but overall I think it was like kind of a little bit of a muddled mess. It was definitely weaker than the previous week's episode, which I enjoyed a lot.
I totally agree with that comment.
Times three.
I feel torn.
The Kink's move is just okay.
Look, you're a very generous fan, Steve.
It's in the show, without like the book context, I don't understand why you would give any shits about any of the Greyjoys. They disappeared Barely, who was a terrible person that we sort of hate. They disappeared for legitimately three seasons. Like, that's such
bad storytelling.
I think that's the key. Like, it feels like there's more interesting stuff, I guess, maybe because it's new this season compared to last season. But I feel like you can tell they've kind of lost their way a little bit. Now, granted, the Greyjoy stuff started much earlier, but I'm just kind of losing a little bit of my confidence in them actually, like, finishing this tapestry, or if that lovely pattern is going to kind of fray.
They didn't lose their way in Dorne. I mean, come on.
That was a wasted season, or, you know, season and an episode.
Yeah.
So now we've got Dorne that no one cares about, and we've got the entire Greyjoy line that nobody cares about.
So, like, what you're saying is that the HBO showrunners decided to buy the core 1.0 box and only care about those houses.
Yeah.
For Baratheon. They don't really care about Baratheon. Like, unless you're counting the Lannisters, they're even really pretending to be Baratheons in the show anymore.
Yeah, I mean, in the opening, still has the Baratheon on top of King's Landing.
True, it's a nice humanic touch.
I think that people still care about what Davos is doing, because he's just likable.
He's not a Baratheon anymore.
Davos,
like, he's got no Baratheon to serve. He's a Targaryen now, like Jon Snow.
Do you guys look at the Too Long Didn't Watch every week after the episode?
I don't even know what that is.
I'll have to link you guys to that, because it's the best part of every episode. It comes out a couple days afterwards.
Is that the one that's like still images and has text?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
we'll put that up with the visual companion, which we put up with every episode. Oh, no, that's wrong podcast.
Is this
basically this week he pointed out how... He pointed out how Euron is basically Trump, Donald Trump.
Well, the book version of Euron is also Donald Trump. He's basically like, let's make the Iron Islands great again.
Do you just call?
Oh my goodness, you're right.
We are really in the danger zone now. Really, really in the danger zone.
Well, we are very much in the danger zone.
I am so all of that.
That definitely closes up the chat.
He's finally here, like, somewhere in the back. I don't know.
Okay, that was actually so faint. I don't think any of us know what that was, Tommy.
There was a nice echo. It's like, river.
No, I think that's what he said, Aaron.
It sounds like all of us are recording relatively in the same room or in the same universe, and Tommy is like in a galaxy far, far away. I kind of love it.
I like that line a lot.